studio. Check us out online at 1037thebuzz.com and throw us a follow on Twitter for instant reaction at JustinAcree7 and PatBradley22. Now, back to Justin Acree and Pat Bradley.
I wanna rock right now. All my bass and the beat to get down. I'm not internationally known, but I'm known to rock the microphone because I get
stupid. I appreciate Matty T turning back the clock for me as I get down. Try to get back down in the 180s. That's 90s. Is it? What year did this come out? Girls adore me.
Well, one of the members of this group passed away this week. So, in honor of DJ Easy Rock,
how did I miss DJ Easy Rock kicking the bucket?
At the young age of 46.
That makes me sad, dude.
High blood pressure?
You know why? Because he probably had too much extra weight around his belly. That's dangerous.
Oh.
And sorry, bro, to correct you. 1988. Great year. Thank you very much. Let's go to the Siggy's Rock and Roll Chicken Shack Hotline. Saturday down south. John,
you're not sorry to correct me. Let's be honest.
Well, I don't get to do it very often anymore. You've gotten so much smarter in the last few years. John Cooper joining us. John, welcome back in the zone. How are you today?
Hey, doing great. How are you guys?
We're pretty good. I know you're mourning the loss of DJ Easy Rock. We're all very, very disappointed about the loss of one of rap's greatest, for sure.
Definitely. I think we're more focused on, obviously our heart, the Southeast goes out to all the people affected by the devastating tornadoes, especially the last couple of days.
There's no question. I did see, and we haven't even talked about what happened in Tupelo and other parts of the South yesterday. I did see on ESPN.com, though, that there was an Alabama swimmer that had been killed in the tornadoes yesterday.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, it's been a rough few days here for those of us in the region.
Them, huh?
But, ugly stuff, and, I know a lot of folks are looking for things to sort of distract them, and that's really what football is at the end of the day. We like to argue about it most of the time, but it seems a little bit unimportant these days, but nice to have the distraction at this point. You wrote a nice article about Joe Oliva disappointed in the SEC's scheduling decision, not necessarily the staying at 8, but the permanent rivals, I guess, as we go forward. For Arkansas, it probably gets – well, not probably. It gets easier for them. I don't know that the fans are as excited about Missouri, but it certainly is easier than playing LSU as a rival, I guess, although we're going to play them anyway, so I don't know what difference it makes. But anyway, for some schools, it's a difficult task, and he's not too happy, I guess, about their permanent being Florida going forward.
It's one thing that, Joe Oliva and Les Miles have really argued against this the last couple of years, and they've tried to get the permanent cross-divisional rivalries, more to a rotating format where you rotate two cross-divisional opponents rather than have one permanent. And, in all of this, LSU has made their voice known, and they, along with Florida, who obviously plays LSU every year, is the biggest losers in all of this. You look at what Alabama's done to Tennessee, hadn't even been a matchup, and LSU looks at it from that standpoint. It's going to give us a better opportunity to win if we don't play Florida every year. And obviously, they've talked about, the idea of fairness the last couple of years, and that's something that, doesn't sit with a lot of fans because, the uneven nature of college football is what truly makes this sport unique. It's why fans love it. You get to pound lesser teams. You have closer games against better teams, and that leads to nonstop debate, weekly polls. So I think it's beautiful. They've argued, although he didn't use the word fairness in his argument, especially over this decision, they've argued the idea of fairness over the last couple of years.
John Cooper of Saturday Down South joining us in the zone on the Stickies Rock and Roll Chicken Shack Hotline. I guess Arkansas's cross-division rival was South Carolina for years, and I think the Missouri thing is going to be great. From a regional standpoint, it's a pretty good fit. I know fans around here don't necessarily have a lot of respect for Missouri, although the last season or two, certainly they have done a lot to probably change some attitudes in regards to their football program. You make a great point here, too, which I didn't realize, that Alabama has really owned Tennessee, and there was certainly a period of time there during the mics that Alabama was having its issues and Tennessee was getting more than its share. But Alabama hasn't lost to Tennessee since 06.
It's the beautiful thing about college football is that it's cyclical. And, Arkansas is facing a downturn right now, as is Tennessee. And both new head coaches are trying to rebuild this thing. And, you know, as it stands right now, Alabama's on top. So there's certain differences among all the programs. And one thing that, you know, LSU's been known for, although they've argued against this, I mean, they sign multiple five-stars every year. There is more players from Louisiana per capita in the NFL than I think any other state in the country. So there's plenty of talent there to work with. I would love to see them, you know, argue against this and argue for it and actually say, you know, by playing Florida every year, maybe it gives us a better opportunity to get in the college football playoff. But, you know, the SEC's decision to stay at 8 as opposed to go to 9, we'll see what effect that has on the league as a whole. There's a lot of pride here. All the coaches, you know, have a lot of pride. They think the league carries enough weight headed into the playoff era to give it that clout to where they don't have to worry about it. But, you know, with this league being really the only other major conference to stay at 8 games, with all the other ones moving to 9 conference games, we'll see what effect that has on the league and its chances to play for national titles in the future.
The other thing about it, they did add a caveat that they will have to play a non-conference opponent who's in the Big Five, which, as we pointed out yesterday, I think maybe a great solution because you're not forcing quite as much attrition on your own league, but you are having a chance to play some legitimate teams from other big conferences. And, of course, Notre Dame is also part of that mix as well. I have seen some people suggest that maybe that number should have been forced at 2 as opposed to 1. What are your thoughts on that, and how many teams does this affect in the short term that don't currently have those non-conference games scheduled already?
Well, the bottom line is the SEC can do what it wants, and it's been a trend-setting league, and they want to continue that. And first and foremost, in Mike Sly's mind and the coach's mind, you know, they want to be leaders, not followers. And just because everybody else is going that direction doesn't mean this league has to either. So I think that's, you know, first and foremost kind of what has stood out. As far as the, you know, permanent the non-conference game that being from a Big Four other conference, you know, I think was kind of a something, you know, a mutual agreement among all the coaches and kind of Mike Sly's way in his mind that we have to keep the strength of schedule strong. And for the most part, you know, this isn't going to change anything. It's not going to change anything from Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, even from Kentucky. You know, these teams that already have these ACC, you know, permanent rivalries that are fixed on the schedule every year. You know, teams like Auburn, Alabama, LSU, you know, obviously carry enough weight in the national picture that teams outside the conference, you know, in those other big conferences are going to want to schedule these teams. There's a lot of benefit from playing those teams on national TV. You pull an upset, you know, you're more highly thought of, obviously. But teams like Mississippi State, Ole Miss, Vanderbilt, who don't have a permanent non-conference rival really on the future schedule, I think are the ones that are going to have the toughest time finding obviously these opponents that they can agree upon. They'll make calls to Minnesota, to Illinois, to Kansas State after Bill Snyder's gone, knowing that program will probably take a step back. That's the programs they're going to target, but it's going to be like a shark tank. You know, there's only so many of those opponents that are going to agree to play, quote, the lesser SEC schools or the mid-tier schools. They have a lot to lose by doing that. So It's going to be interesting to see mainly those three teams and what their scheduling looks like for the future.
John, I want to go back to the voting that the SEC just had. Do you know how often they vote on? It says permanent annual rivalry game, but it was voted on. Do you know when the next voting will come up?
Well, I think for the immediate and for the foreseeable future, now granted, all this starts in 2016, so, you know, it's going to be a while into the future. How long into the future, I think, really depends on what effect it has on the playoff era. I think if and maybe when we see the SEC get dinged for staying at 8 games and the perceived strength of schedule is lesser than maybe a conference that's playing 9 games, either in the Big 12 or really the Pac-12 or would be the two conferences that immediately jump out, you know, is when they're going to revisit this thing. And I don't think, you know, until that time, I don't see this getting changed for certainly a while.
John Cooper joining us from SaturdayDownSouth.com. John, you also had an article here about the 11 biggest takeaways from the SEC spring practice. When you talk about Arkansas specifically, one of the questions that came up, and we've already had a number of calls about it this morning, people are concerned about Brandon Allen. Some people are anti-Brandon Allen. There's another camp that would say that, you know, he didn't really have much of a shake last year with the limited receiving core and some play-calling issues. And not to mention the fact that it was his first year starting. what's your level of confidence in him, not only as a starter, but also maybe finishing the season as a starter?
Well, it's certainly an interesting debate, and obviously it's probably the biggest concern up until this point. I think there are more concerns, and obviously having some receivers that really can get open. I think that was a big problem last year is, you know, none of the guys were able to really create any separation, maybe outside of Hunter Henry, a tight end. Had so much trouble creating any type of separation past 5 yards. So that was a big concern. And, you know, Brandon Allen was dinged up last year. He wasn't 100%. And this spring, you know, leading into the spring game, you know, there was some talk and some really optimism and light at the end of the tunnel saying, you know, he's finally healthy. He's showing some stride. This is going to be our quarterback. And that's what Arkansas fans wanted out of the spring game, is to show up or watch it on TV and say, look, we've seen Brandon Allen. We think he's ready to take a step. But obviously with his play, and certainly in the first half, you know, there's more negative takeaways from actually positive takeaways. So, you know, Brandon Allen's going to be the quarterback. He's going to start this season unless he, you know, has an injury or he just absolutely doesn't show up in fall camp. But, you know, to say that his job is secure is really presumptuous at this point. His brother, obviously, Austin Allen, is the closest competitor to the situation. And, yeah, there are concerns for me at the quarterback position, especially knowing the style of play. The margin of error for Arkansas is just so slim. They can't afford to beat themselves in any facet of the game, and they're going to have to limit turnovers. And both of the Allen brothers combined for 4 during the spring game. So, obviously, there are big concerns at the job, but I think at this point it's Brandon Allen's to lose.
And reading through this article, it sounds like Arkansas is not the only school that has quarterback questions, although some schools may have options between 2 guys that they're very confident in, but it sounds like a lot of jobs are still up for grabs around the league.
They really are, and obviously the big job, the kind of the 3 bigger jobs that people talk about is Alabama, LSU, and Tennessee. And, you know, Jacob Coker's a FSU transfer at Alabama, and look, all their chips are in the pot with this guy. I think what we saw in the spring game and this spring is Blake Sims is a nice player, and I think that he can limit some turnovers, he can do some things with his legs that maybe Jacob Coker can't do, but they need that big arm. They need that game manager that they have with A.J. McCarron. Is Jacob Coker that guy? You know, we're going to find out real quick. And obviously LSU is another big team. 2 guys, Anthony Jennings, Brandon Harris. Harris has really showed up better in the spring. He's the early enrollee. He's a flashy player, great-looking athlete, has a ton of upside that can really take that offense to different levels. And Tennessee is kind of the other big one, too. And obviously Texas A&M and Vanderbilt's important. But Tennessee, it just seems like, you know, this program is not going to rebound until it finds a clear-cut quarterback. There's 4 guys battling for the job. You know, we'll see what direction Butch Jones really takes there. But this is really the bigger kind of storyline in the SEC is leading, you know, entering this season is all the different quarterbacks.
John Cooper joining us, SaturdayDownSouth.com. I had a chance to watch, I guess, Pat, we watched this game together, Derrick Henry in the bowl game last year, and certainly I know that Alabama was not thrilled with the way things shook out there, but this kid looks like he could rush for like 3,000 yards in a season. He's freakish. Certainly he's going to have to share some carries this year, but going forward, I mean, he looks like, of all the great backs in this league, he looks like he might be the best of them all.
Well, it's an interesting, you know, point. A lot of college coaches weren't quick to touch him out of high school. They didn't want to offer him as a running back. You know, early on, Derrick Henry was infatuated with the University of Florida, and I think in his mind, he wanted to go to Florida and play running back. And at that time, you know, whether it was under, I believe it was Charlie Weiss who was first started recruiting this guy, said, look, we don't think you're a running back. You know, we think you're more of an H-back, a tight end, possibly even an outside linebacker or a defensive end. And so he's such an interesting player. I mean, he's like a tank running through there. It takes multiple 3-4 guys to bring him down. He can do it all. He's got plenty of speed. He's got great vision, great athleticism, tremendous size. He's just one of those guys that, you know, linebackers and especially corners and safeties, once he gets past that first line of defense, they're just going to get tired of tackling this guy, you know, in the fourth quarter when they're just eating up yardage, trying to run clock. Tremendous-looking player. So they have so many mouths to feed in that backfield. It's going to be hard to see them, you know, really keep all of them happy. You know, that's a good problem to have, but at the end of the day, it's going to be tough identifying the 2 backs that you want taking the most carries. I think Kenyon Drake, who's, you know, kind of forgotten in the Alabama backfield. He was really their spark plug last year, coming in games, providing some things on offense that T.J. Yeldon couldn't. So interesting, but it's a good problem to have.
John, appreciate the time very much, and we'll catch up again here. I mean, there will be a lot of talk, certainly. It's crazy. We'll be in July. We'll be talking about these same issues, but it'll still be fun. So we'll see how it shakes out.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you very much. Let me get John Cooper, Saturday Down South. If you missed the interview, we'll have it posted to the website here in mere moments. John wants to talk a little Brandon Allen. What's